I'm in Kentucky today, broadcasting from Louisville Public Media. And while we are here, we want to hear from some of the people who cover the news from this city every single day. Kentucky has a population of about 4.5 million people. It is a red state with some blue dots in it. Both senators are Republican, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who's been in office for decades, and Rand Paul. The governor is also a Republican, Matt Bevin, and today is primary day for him. Joining us now is Ryland Barton, who's Capitol reporter for Kentucky Public Radio. Hi, Ryland.
Hey, Jeremy.
And also with us in the studio is Philip Bailey, political writer for the Louisville Courier-Journal. Hi, Philip.
Peace. What's going on, man?
Good to have you both here. And let's start with this primary that's going on right now as we speak. There's going to be a gubernatorial election in the fall. Is it shaping up to be a tough primary for Matt Bevin? He is the least popular governor in the nation, according to an April poll by the Morning Consult, Philip.
No one thinks that Matt Bevin is going to lose the primary today against the three opponents that he has, including State Representative Robert Goforth. But there is some concern that given his cantankerous relationship with fellow Republicans, he's had fights with former House speakers. Of course, he ran against Senator McConnell a few years ago. There is some concern that Mr. Goforth and his opponents may get anywhere between 20 to 33% of the vote. Mm-hmm. You saw yesterday President Trump sent out some robocalls on behalf of Governor Bevin, calling him his good friend. Just today, he sent out a tweet, you know, encouraging voters
to vote for Bevin.
To vote for Bevin, and with the MAGA hashtag. Bevin is close personal friends with Vice President Mike Pence, who was the governor of neighboring Indiana. So there is some thought that this could be an embarrassing day for Bevin if his opponent or opponents get more than 20% of the vote.
Well, and Bevin is pointing out that he is close to President Trump. Here he is in a campaign ad released earlier this month with images of him alongside the president.
President Trump is taking America to new heights, but it hasn't been easy. People are afraid of change, but I'm not. Neither is the president, and together, our changes are working.
Ryland, how is that strategy working in Kentucky? President Trump is still popular here.
Well, I think that's going to be Governor Bevin's campaign strategy going forward into the general election for sure. President Trump's a lot more popular than he is in the state. And I think that, you know, and talking more about, you know, the governor's unpopularity, I think that there's some parts of his platform that have been incredibly popular. His, you know, he calls himself the most pro-life governor in the nation. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, 57% of Kentuckians think that abortion, most forms of abortion should be illegal.
There's a heartbeat bill in this state as well, right?
Yes, it passed earlier this year. There are several other bills, a bill that would totally ban abortions in Kentucky if Roe v. Wade is overturned. And there's been court battles over various abortion issues over the past few years. You know, then again, there's also this there's other issues that have made Governor Bevin's relationship with teachers has been incredibly acrimonious. He's attempted to make changes to the state's pension systems, and that has angered teachers. Thousands of teachers have been protesting in Frankfurt over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I think that really that's what it comes down to. It's this this relationship he has with the public, going out on social media, blocking people on social media, and it's just kind of created this firestorm of resentment. And I think that the real thing to, you know, I think, as Philip said, nobody's really expecting Governor Bevin to lose this primary election. And I think turning to the general election, you know, if he wins this primary, you know, he's kind of turning, he probably turned like a 10-point victory into a much more close race.
Well, and he may face the state attorney general, Andy Beshear, who's the son of the former two-term governor, Steve Beshear, here in Kentucky.
Right. And that gives, I think, Andy Beshear an inherent advantage in the Democratic primary. That name recognition, when you're known from Paducah to Pikeville automatically, right? People go into that polling place, they go into that voting booth, they recognize that name Beshear. His father ran for attorney general back in the 1970s, ran for lieutenant governor, mm-hmm. ran for governor, ran for U.S. Senate a bunch of times. I mean, that name is baked in. However, you do see Adam Edlin, the former state auditor, running a very aggressive liberal campaign, the most liberal campaign, I think, Kentuckians have seen in quite a long time. And Rocky Atkins, the House Democratic leader who represents Eastern Kentucky, parts of Eastern Kentucky, I think you can't underestimate him. He's going into parts of the state that many in the media are not following him in. And I think there's a lot of enthusiasm as he's one of us, as sort of the rural roots, and he's one of us as the mantra for Rocky Atkins.
One of the other people in this state that people have known for a long time is Mitch McConnell, who actually also happens to be the most powerful senator in America. He's going to face re-election next year again. Is he going to have any kind of a challenge?
I think that, you know, every year, every time Mitch McConnell runs for re-election, everybody brings up his, you know, he's got a very high disapproval rating, and yet he also has this massive campaign machinery and this massive war chest, campaign war chest. And frankly, the thing that above all else that works in his favor is Kentucky has been trending in this Republican, in a Republican fashion over the last 30 years, since McConnell was first elected in 1983, and especially at the federal level. You know, it's voted Republican increasingly over those years. Last time he voted for a Democratic president was Bill Clinton in 1996, and now it's just basically Republicans all down.
Why is it trending Republican?
Well, I think number one, you see the demographics in Kentucky are not like the rest of the country. This is a predominantly white state. You only have really two cities, Louisville, Lexington, a low African-American population, unlike, for example, Georgia or Alabama, where you have high African-American population. You know, black folks here, they didn't stay, right? Mm-hmm. They continued to Indiana, Pittsburgh, Chicago, et cetera. The other thing is that, you know, Democrats have become, at least on social issues, far more liberal than they were back 25 years ago or so. We hear about Matt Jones, sports radio host, being a rumored Democratic candidate. There's, of course, Amy McGrath, who tried to ride that blue wave into Congress when she ran against Congressman Andy Barr out of central Kentucky. So there's always those thoughts, but Ryland is correct. Senator McConnell's popularity numbers for the rest of the time he's in office is one thing. The only thing that really matters is who gets the 51% on election day. I mean, Senator McConnell's also the most unpopular senator in the country, but he's also the most powerful.
Well, okay, so what about some of the issues that are happening in Washington that are playing here? We talked about abortion, but what about the trade war? This is a place that, you know, other countries, when they had tariffs placed on them, they said, where can we hit the Republicans the most in the United States? Well, bourbon in Kentucky. Let's go after the bourbon industry. Are people angry about the tariffs, or how do they feel about them here?
I think it's something that you hear, you know, there's fomenting resentment around it, but it's something that still hasn't spilled over to that, like, critical electoral moment where people are going to, say, vote against a President Trump who is, you know, has this, you know, kind of economic outlook. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can hear that especially from, yeah, the bourbon industry. They say, we don't like this, but then they back off. They're not going to come out and just, you know, not endorse, you know, these incredibly popular political figures in Kentucky. And then I think also, like, on farmers and tariffs, mm-hmm. soybeans have taken an incredible hit from tariffs and basically and it's something, it just hasn't tripped over to that level in which people are going to vote against it.
I would look to Congressman James Comer, who represents Western Kentucky, right? Who has the personal cell phone of the president. The president has his cell phone number at least. And he's a farmer. A lot of farmers complain to him about the tariffs. And he certainly initially, you know, said, I don't really like this, but let's give the president a chance. What you're seeing, Jeremy, I think, is Republicans in Kentucky, they hear from their constituents who don't like the tariffs, don't like the trade wars. But they know that their representatives, Congressman Comer, Senator Paul, Senator McConnell, they have an in with the president. Mm-hmm. So is it better to make the gamble of criticizing and making a protest movement out of this? Or is it better to get on the phone and call your congressman, call your senator and say, hey, congressman, hey, senator, hey, governor. You have this personal relationship with the president. Can you please convey this to them? Power is a very alluring thing when it comes to protest politics.
Okay, I just want to finally ask each of you whether there's a story that you've been watching here in Kentucky that we're not spending enough time paying attention to around the rest of the country. Philip, start with you.
I would say one thing folks aren't paying attention to enough is the Martin County water crisis. It's very similar to what happened in Michigan and Flint, and I think it's one thing that, you know, both local lawmakers here feel like they're being ignored because it's in rural Kentucky, hasn't gotten the national attention it deserves.
What's wrong with the water there?
Basically, folks are saying it basically tastes like diesel. I mean, there is some issues mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. The contamination of the water. There's been a pleas from state. You haven't really seen it in the governor's race. I anticipate you may see that injected in the general election for governor here in Kentucky.
Ryland, what about you? What's a story we're not paying attention to?
I think the pension crisis. I mean, this is something that affects a lot of different states and local governments across the country. But Kentucky is one of the worst funded pension systems in the nation. And it's something that, you know, we have a very small state budget. And our spending on pensions now accounts for over 14% mm-hmm. of all spending. And it just crowds out a whole lot of other stuff. And basically, how the administration's been going after it is just throwing more money into it while, you know, not finding any new revenue for it.
That's Ryland Barton, who is with Kentucky Public Radio. We've also been speaking with Philip Bailey, political writer for the Louisville Courier-Journal. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Peace.